Talmud, we'll be learning the seventh parak of Bava Kama, Parak Merubah. And as a way of introduction, first couple of shiurim, try to figure out what the relationship is between various isurim and where the main subject matter, which is Gneva and Gzela, where does that stand in halachic life generally, and more specifically in terms of the isurim in the Torah. We know the example that in the Aser Sadibros, there appears a reference to Gneva, Lo Signov. That's one of the Aser Sadibros. We also understand that anything that is included in the Aser Sadibros is not just any Isur or Mitzvah, but obviously something which is considered to be a major cornerstone of Yahadus. The Sifra tells us right away, and Rashi quotes this in his Perush al Torah, and the other Rishonim pick up on it, and Rashi as well, in Bav Metzia Daf Samach Aleph, and other places, that the Lo Signov, the Aser Sadibros, while when you read it and translate it, it says, do not steal, doesn't really mean stealing money. It refers to Gnevas Nefesh, kidnapping. But I would just raise the question whether the fact that the Torah wrote Lo Signov, do not steal, wrote about kidnapping in the way that it did, in a way that could be misleading, which could confuse us as a reference to actual stealing and stealing of money, whether that is not significant in its own right. So the fact that the Torah uses the same terminology for Gnevas Mamon and Gnevas Nefesh, is that significant? It even happens occasionally that either Chazal or some of the Rishonim quote Lo Signov in references to Gnevas Mamon. Sometimes it's corrected and sometimes it's not, but again, that reflects at minimum how easy it is to confuse matters, which raises the question, you know, why did Rabbeinu Shalom give an Aser Sadibros, one of the Dibros, which could be confused and misunderstood.
And why is Gnevas Nefesh?
Why is that so significant?
Right.
Why? But, you know, I think that's not so difficult to understand. I think, you know, it is a heinous crime, and one which, I think, you know, goes to the question of Tzelem Elokim in a way. I mean, it's also, you know, we just read in the sixth parsha, it's taking him away from his environment against his will, and it's also enslaving him against his will. That's part of it as well. It's, I think, a gross violation of his Tzelem Elokim, encroaching on his, human rights in a way. So that doesn't disturb me. I think it belongs with Lo Sirtzach and with some of the other things. But the fact that the language of Gneva is used is significant. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Samach Aleph, which we'll see as part of this introduction, not today, but the Gemara in Samach Aleph on the base, quotes Lo Signov in the context of Gneva Smamon. The Gra on that Gemara says, obviously there's a mistake here, Tzarech Lomar Lo Signovu. But in the texts of the Gemara that we have, it really does say Lo Signov. And this question of overlap is an interesting and important issue. Maybe we'll have a chance to speak more about it. Rav Sajigon does not quote Lo Signovu, which is, by the way, the real source of Gneva, the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. He doesn't quote it as as one of the Tarying Mitzvahs. He has Lo Sigzol, Gzela, and he has Lo Signov, which is Gnevas Nefesh. But he does not have Lo Signovu in the 613. So the question is, why doesn't he? Right. So the Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, who wrote this massive work trying to clarify the positions of Rav Sajigon and Sefer Mitzvot. Sajigon and Sefer Mitzvot really wrote a few lines, very, very enigmatic comments that he made. And Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, made a work out of it. He has these three massive volumes in which he basically uses as an opportunity to expound upon the mitzvahs generally, but he also tries to elaborate Rav Sajigon. So he says, why did Rav Sajigon skip Lo Signovu? So he gives us two possible explanations, two opposite explanations in a way. One is that it's included in Lo Signovu. You don't need to quote Lo Signovu and Lo Signovu, something which we'll discuss. The other is that it's included in Lo Signovu. Of course, it isn't kidnapping, but the fact that kidnapping is also already, as a far, far diluted, lesser exhibition of the expression of this, you have the Lo Signovu Gnevas Mammon. My point being that at least according to Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlo and some of the Makoros, and we'll see here and there some other evidence of it, there seems to be, there's possibly a link between Gnevas Mammon and Gnevas Nefesh. The fact that the Asar Sadibros uses language which at first glance we would have just said means do not steal, I think in the, you know, if you look at some of the translations of the of Tanakh, you know, the ones that are not halakhically inspired, they do say, you know, thou shalt not steal. In fact, Cecil B. DeMille, is that how he translated it or not? When the, he didn't say thou shalt not kidnap, did he?
No.
It's been a while.
Charlton Heston, you mean?
Right, but Cecil B. DeMille was the, was...
No, he was just the director. It was Charlton.
No.
Well,
but
the voice.
He was the voice of the Rabboni Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu just received it. I think, am I right?
That was Mel Brooks, actually.
That's like a later version. Anyway, so I think they said, you know, thou shalt not. I think it's normally translated, thou shalt not steal. That it's really being halakhically, thou shalt not kidnap. But the fact that there may be an overlap between them is very, very significant. So the question, significant in diluting the kidnapping or in upgrading the importance of stealing into one's home and stealing from him? I suspect the latter rather than the former. The truth is that in all cultures, right, the thief needs to be addressed. He needs to be contended with. As long as there has been social groupings, societies, there has been this appetite to take what is not yours, and there has always been gazlanim and ganavim. The question really I'm asking is, how do we perceive ganavim and gazlanim? Is it just a matter of dollars and cents, money, in which case one could put it under the general rubric of mazik, and it's about dollars and cents and loss and so on? Or is it something more to gneva or gzela or one or the other? Namely, we view this as being a more significant kind of crime. Not just about money, but about, again, in some way undermining people's rights, their tzelem elokim, just something to think about. Classical gneva and gzela, include an element of kinyanim. We'll be discussing this as we go forward, but the classic gneva and gzela require a kinyan. You have to make a kinyan on the object. Not only that, but a ganav and a gazlan can walk away from the illegal action that they performed with kinyanim because they make a kinyan. What the relationship is between those kinyanim and the kinyanim of the real owner is, of course, a very important issue. By and large, the nignav or nigzal, the victim, retains greater control over the object than the ganav and the gazlan. But in halachic terms, even though it's absolutely prohibited and illegal to do gneva and gzela, there is legal significance to the action. You do undermine somewhat the victim's control over the object, and you do attain some sort of relationship with that object on your own. That is surely significant. And because of that, in a way, you are interfering. Another way to look at gneva and gzela is that you are undermining or interfering with his contractual rights, his connection and relationship to an object. And as we discussed last year, just to briefly connect this year's limud with last year we learned Masachet Kiddushin. And we discussed several times the fact that Kinyan is a critical part of Kiddushin is important. It doesn't mean that you buy the woman. What it means is that Kinyanim, right, reflect a certain legal relationship, a respectful legal relationship, sometimes mutual, sometimes unilateral, but basically it's not about ownership per se. Ownership is just an example, the most common example, the most ubiquitous example of a legal relationship. Really, Kinyanim is about a legal relationship. So when you rupture or interfere or diminish a man's legal relationship, you know, with something, with an object, in halachic terms, that's more than simply taking his money. Mazik means you go to his field and you destroy it, right? You do him damage. But gzela and gneva have a more, I would say, maisavera orientation. But what you're doing is you're also undermining his rights. You're not just one fell swoop causing him a loss. Of course, you generally, classically, causing the loss. But you're doing more than that, is what I'm suggesting. And the fact that kinyanim play a role in the act of Geneva, in the undermining of his kinyanim, in the creating of your own kinyanim, the fact that you're getting between him and his kinyan in his object is certainly something to consider highly. Having said that, yeah.
So are you suggesting that Masa Avera is essentially absent from Mazik?
I'm not saying that completely. I mean, that is a big issue in Mazik. There is a question in Mazik. Let me say it this way. So let me back up a little bit. Having said that, I'm not denying the relationship between Geneva and Gezela to Mazik, number one. Nor am I suggesting, as you just correctly pointed out, that Mazik is exclusively about Hefsid Momo. So let me explain what I mean. That Geneva and Gezela are part of the world of Mazik is, I think, intuitive. But it's also clear in the Makoros. It's clear in the Makoros. The Masechta that we're studying this year is Bava Kamma. So Merubah is the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, but the first six parakim of Bava Kamma are all about Mazik, whether it's Nizke Adam, Nizke Behema, Adama Mazik. The first six parakim are about damages. The seventh parak is about Geneva. Actually, it's an interesting configuration. The seventh parak is about Geneva. The eighth parak is about bodily damage. That's Chovel, which clearly is beyond Mazik, but connected. Then comes the ninth and the tenth, which really are about Gezela. That's the structure. The Rambam deals with the dinim of Geneva and Gezela in Sefer called Nezikin, which again begins with Nizkei Mamon. From there goes to Geneva, Gezela, Chovel, and then Rotzeach. The Rimel O'Neil, the Meiri, right in the beginning of the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, their Hakdama is, what is Parak Meruba doing above Bava Kamma? It's a form of Mazik. Indeed, if you look at the Gemara in Bava Kamma, maybe we'll have a chance to, for sure have a chance to expand on the relationship between Geneva, Gezela, and Mazik. That's one of the main themes we're going to be pursuing. But even this particular point, let me just mention very quickly. In the beginning of Masechet Bava Kamma, the Gemara, I think I brought one, the Gemara discusses alternative lists of Mazikin. As we know, that Bava Kamma begins Arba Avos Nezikin. Right? Shor, Abor, Amave, Hever, these are the four principles of Nezikin. We're not going to go into them, that's a topic in its own right. And Avdalit on the base, the Gemara tells us that Tani Rav Oshia Shlosh Asar Avos Nezikin. Rav Oshia argued that there were 13 Avos Nezikin. Okay? Shomachinam, Shoel, Nosisachar, Vasocher, the four Shomrim. And then Nezek Tzarip Wishevas Uboshes, the things that you violate when you physically attack someone and you cause them damage, Chovel. The Arba Demas Nisan, and the four that are mentioned in the Mishnah. However, Rav Chiya, the Gemara says, had a list of 24. Tani Rav Chiya Esrim Ba'arba Avos Nezikin, which include also Tashlume Kefel, Tashlume Dalet Vehei, Ganav Gazlan, Edom Zomim, Ones Mephatim, Altishemra, Metame, Medameh, Menaseh, Bahani Plesar, and the 13 of Rav Oshia. So on the list of Rav Chiya is Gneva and Gzela. The question is, once the list becomes larger, you know, how significant is the list? As if I said, four of us are Zekin. Okay. And, you know, and so on. The smaller the number, the more, obviously, ambitious I am in terms of, you know, projecting things that are pure Mazik. Once you include the Shomrim and other things, to what extent is this really a list of Mazikin, or is it just a list of Gram, Hefsid Mamon, or Tashlume Mamon? That's a question. But what's also interesting is that the Gemara discusses why Rav Oshia didn't include Ganef and Gazlan. And the Gemara says he did. He included in Shomachinam and in Shoel, something we'll discuss later. And then the Gemara says, okay, if he really included it in Shomachinam and Shoel, because our cases are Shol Shol Lidas, perhaps, or Toin Tanis Ganef, where the Shomrim can turn into Geneva or Gezela. So why about Rav Chiya? Rav Chiya Nami, HaTani Lei Shomachinam VaShoel, the second to bottom line on Dalet Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Tani Mamona Da'asa Liyadu Behetera, Uktani Mamona Da'asa Liyadu Be'isura. Meaning, there's still a difference between when you do the Maisa Aveira, you actually go and you steal something from somebody's possession, as opposed to you get something Beheter, and then later on you commit an act of Geneva or Gezela by refusing to pay for it or to hand it over, or you make up some lie about what happened to it in order to be able to hold on to it, etc. The point is that on the one hand, Gneva and Gzela are clearly ensconced in the world of Nezikin. That's evident in the Masechta, the Mishnayis, and the Gemara, and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and so on. Indeed, there are those who say, the question is this relationship will go back and forth, that the source, you asked me, is the rest of your question, is Mazik nothing more than money? Is there no prohibition for Maisa Vera when it comes to Mazik? That's a big issue. Is there an Isur Lahazik? Some years ago we learned Bava Kama, sorry, a while ago. That was what we began with then. The Arishonim would seem to think that there is no Isur Lahazik. There's only the monetary consequences if you go ahead and do so. On the other hand, there is some evidence that Mazik is Asur as well. For example, Gemara speaks about building a boar in Rosh HaRabim, or sending somebody out to burn down somebody else's field, as we discussed last year, in terms of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. That's Mazik. So is it really Dvar Avera? We discussed this a little bit last year in that context, or two ways to understand that. Or the Gemara, the Tosa speaks about, Tashlumei Nezek, whether we apply the principle Ein Onshin Min Adin. Can you make a Kalvachomer to teach you Dine Mazik? What do you mean Ein Onshin? What do you mean Onshin? Is it Onshin or is it Tashlumin? So there is evidence, and some people say that it's based on Lo Yishmerenu, and others say after Lo Yechad Kamochar, and Hashavas Aveda. But even if there is it a specific Iser, or is it something more general about, the fellowship of man? That's one issue. What's particularly interesting is the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is echoed a little less so by the Tur, but Rabbeinu Yonah in Masechet Avos, who says that it's Aser Lahazik based on Lo Zigzol. Gzela and Gneva is the source for Isur Lahazik. So this is an interesting issue. I don't want to go into all the details right now. Maybe we'll have time to come back to it. The point is that there may not be an Isur Lahazik. If there is an Isur, it may be a general Isur. If it's a more specific Isur, it actually may be because of the connection to Gneva and Gzela. I'm going to say even further, even if there is a specific Isur Lahazik, there's still no question that the primary focus of Mazik is dollars and cents. Even if there is an Isur. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, Daflam and Amud Aleph, Haiman Deboilim, Heve Chasida, right? If a person wants to be a Chasid, and a Chasid has the connotation of Lufnim, Meshura Sadin, going beyond the requirements of law. So, Likiyume, and then the Gemara says either Avos, Brachos, or Nezikin. So, I spoke about this in the past, right? Brachos, Avos, those are perfectly understandable. Brachos, Vinanam La, Makom. If you understand the brachos well, you understand, very much about your mission in life, or the kind of person you're supposed to be, a certain God consciousness that you're supposed to always have. Avos is ethics, right? Ethics of our father, values, that's what avos is all about. It's clear that that's the path, to become a mehevah chasidah. But nezikin, right? Nezikin is strange, because any legal system has to have rules that protect property and other rights. That's not being a chassid. That's like the minimum that you can imagine. But if you look at the Gemara, and the Gemara calls it lekiyume milsa de nezikin. You don't fulfill nezikin, you avoid nezik. But if you look at the Gemara, point this out in the past, the Gemara there is talking about a very specific issue. The Gemara says that if you own property and there are needles lying around the property, you have to bury them. That's lekiyume milsa de nezikin. Now, nezik doesn't just mean not damaging your fellow Jew. It means taking steps even within your own property. It means essentially curbing your own rights in order to safeguard others, even within the boundaries of your own real estate, of your own property. That's lekiyume milsa de nezikin, and that's man debaylem heva chasida. There are aspects of nezikin that clearly transcend dollars and cents. 100% you're correct. But if that's true for Nezikin, which is mostly about dollars and cents, how much more is it when we're talking about Gneva or Gzela, which, number one, unlike many acts, Nezikin can be Bemezin, but the classic case of Nezikin is not Bemezin. All cases of Gneva and Gzela are Bemezin. Moreover, you're talking about basically abusing people's rights, you know, basically attacking them. Again, the consequences are monetary, but when you steal into someone's home and you take his object, you violate his privacy, and to some extent his tzelem Elokim as well. If it's begezel, bechazko, befarhesia, that's one kind of trauma. And if it's begneva, beseser, then maybe it's even worse, as the Gemara tells us. So my point is that whatever you say about Nezikin, and I think your point is correct, that in halachic terms, Nezikin probably does transcend dollars and cents. And yet, that remains the primary focus. The question is, when you talk about Gnevo Gzela, which definitely is linked to Nezek, is it even more so transcendent beyond the dollars and the cents? And the fact that in the Aseret HaDibros, we use the language of Gneva, Gnevas Nefesh, that can be confused with Gneva, may be significant in establishing that Gneva itself is more than just about dollars and cents. It really is also about an attack on the person and his rights and so on. Yeah.
Have you not brought up the point now that Mazik is mostly not the Mazik? I would put it much clearer that Mazik is undermining the victim, and I would put that it's much clearer that there's a Beira there. I mean, right. After all, Gneva, you can return it to the end. Mazik,
right.
You've already destroyed something that belongs to the other person.
Right. That's true.
And second of all, Gneva and Zela, you could reason often comes from poverty, or, you know, I need it, or even not, let's strike that commercial. Okay, the person who wants it. Okay, so
right.
The other thing is sheer maliciousness. You destroyed something so that it's of no use to you, the criminal, and
right. But mazid is not, you're absolutely right, but mazid is not a required component. And not only is mazid not a required component, but the general rule about mazik, there's some, you know, discussion about this, is that it's possible that it's probable that it's even ba'anus. That's adama mazik. Even ba'anus, according to most Rishonim, the Gemara says it, the question of what the Gemara means. But how anus is it? Like even masasik. Let's say, you know, I'm sleeping and I, you know, stretch out in the middle of the night, or I roll over and I destroy somebody's object. Right? So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, I'm chayiv even for that. Adam mu'ad li'olam, afilu ba'anus, because what do we care about? The reality that the other fellow's property has been damaged. So if you're right, had it been a requirement of mazid, then I think what you're saying would, this idea of maliciousness and you know, lahachis, you know, might have been an aspect of it, but it's not. That the difference between mazid b'shogeg and I've seen between mazik b'shogeg and mazid, there is no difference between mazik b'shogeg and mazik b'nezid in terms of the legalities of it. Of course, one case you're a horrible human being, and in the other case you're not. But below, if there is an iser below shemenu ba'alav, it's about not taking proper safeguards to make sure that you're not in a place where you can roll over and destroy his object, or you're, you know, not watching your shor or your chamor, you know, with enough initiative that you're responsible for what it does, even though, you know, you're a wonderful guy and it's all remote control. So I think what you're saying is a good point, but it isn't so. Meaning it isn't preconditioned for mazik that there be this this posture of aggressiveness and so on. Yeah.
Once you start using phraseology such as Selam Elokim, don't you then open a whole new area, whether it's limited to Jews or non-Jews?
We'll get to that. Absolutely. But obviously, the more we look at Gezel and Gneva beyond the Bnei Mominis, you know, it does raise that question. But we'll discuss it. There's a huge machlokes on Rishonim, as we know, whether Gezel Akum and Gneva Sakum is Daraisa or Drabanan, and whether it's based on Chilul Hashem or it really is a basic violation. And even if there are differences, I think it's a very valid point. The fact that we extend it the way that we do, I think, points in strength. Just to also remember, and I think this highlights it, that for a Ben Noach, forget about the victim being a Yisrael to an Akum, but a Ben Noach who's involved in Gezel is Chayv Misa. I feel the Pachas Mishav Pruta, which sounds really harsh. Azaraso Zuhi Misaso. So is that just about the money, or is that the sense that, you know, for a Ben Noach, this is very basic, and it's more than about money. Well, what do we define as Gezel? What's included under the rubric of Gezel, right? I mean, some people say the story of Dina was the story of Gezel. Yifas Toar, is Gezel. So the more expansive it is, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it's Kai Misa, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that in, you know, even if he steals a Lechus or a Pruta from a Jew, so the Gemara says, but the Jew is Mokel Pachas Mishav Pruta, so why should the Ben Noach who steals less or a Pruta from his fellow Ben Noach who's not Mokel? We'll discuss it. So that's one thing. So it's like stealing a Pruta. But if he steals a lesson of Pruta from Yisrael, who's a Rachman ben Rachman and who's Mochel, so according to the simple reading of the Gemara, so what's the problem? Why should be Chayiv Misa in that case? The Gemara says because Shetzir es Chaveiro, Shetzir es Yisrael. I mean, isn't it about the finances? It's about the sense of having, you know, not just annoyed, but violated him, violated his rights, etc. So I think you're absolutely right. We have to address the question of Bineva and Gzeila Sakum. Everybody agrees that it's also Lemaisa. The question is whether it's just Chil Hashem. I don't mean just Chil Hashem, that Chil Hashem isn't important. What I mean is, in terms of what we're interested right now in, which is trying to figure out the nature and character of Gneva and Gezela, so if the reason that it's also is because of Chil Hashem, then it doesn't tell us much about Gneva and Gezela. But if there really is, if it's part of the fundamental lav of Lo Signovu or Lo Sigzal, or one or the other at least, then that will be surely significant. And I think we'll find that some Rishonim think that it is. Yeah.
I was going to say that in the case of Shor Shlomi Das, doesn't that show that there is Geneva without Hezek?
Gezel, that's considered a form of Gezel. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll find other cases as well. We'll analyze this about if indeed it's the Maisa and what it reflects about the Gavra of Aryan, as well as the, I guess, the Tsar or other things that results, the sense of being violated of the Nignav and the Nigzal. So can you have cases where there isn't even any mazik at all? Which is what you're asking.
Right.
I think that's a very good point. So Shor Shlomi Das may be such a case. There may be other cases. We'll see as we go forward. Amanas Lameikad. Gemara is a case where a person steals not because he wants the money. According to some Rishonim, he's not even going to keep the money. He wants to annoy the other fellow. Or he wants to benefit him. And he benefits somebody by stealing from him. He's very proud. He won't take any charity. So you steal from him, and that way you can pay him kefir. Or dollar of the hay, if you're lucky.
Yeah, but
that's why he does it, the guy. Is that a problem or not? Right? That'll be an issue. I'll give another example. Shtar. Well, we'll discuss these, though. Shtar. This is a question Tosis asks right in the beginning of Merubah. Gemara tells us right away that we have, you know, klal or pratu, klal or ribu, miut, whatever it is, and we exclude karka. Let's explain that also. Avadim, shehub shalakakos, and shtaros, because ein gufan mamo. So the Tosis asks, why do you need a limud? Tosis on samach beis on the beis, which you don't have in front of you, but right in the first amud of Meruba, im tomar, lomali krol amait, mikefel, shtaros, ein gufan mamon, after all, baha, afilu ibdo biadayim. There's a debate regarding mazik. Like, let's say you take a contract. You destroy somebody's contract. I have a contract of somebody owes me money. And I have a contract, and you come, not he. Let's say somebody else, third party, comes and destroys the contract, burns the contract. Now I can't collect, or at least my collection now depends on the other fellow's honesty. I no longer have the full control over the situation. Are you chai from a mazik point of view or not? That's a discussion in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, whether doin dina de garmi, right? If you cause a loss, you don't, you know, actually destroy his object or his money directly, but you just, you know, set a chain in motion, that's called dina de garmi. There's a difference between grama and garmi and maisa hezek. Where do we draw the law? So Tosa is basically saying, if you hold that ain doin dina de garmi, that for mazik purposes you have to damage him directly. If you destroy the contract, in other words, you're not going to pay for that. You pay for the piece of paper, but you're not going to pay for beyond that. Although what you should pay for, even if you do pay, is an issue. You pay the full amount of the contract, or you pay the value of having security that you don't have to depend on his honesty. Because let's say the loan is $100, right? So the contract is worth $100, or the contract is worth $15. Because that's how much I would pay to have a contract, not to have to rely on his honesty. That's what Chaim speaks about, but we'll get to that. So why do you need a limud to teach you that Geneva and Gezelas Shtar is not Chayiv even if you were to take it and destroy it, be a dayim. The question almost is like based on your mentality, right? Which is, if you're not going to be chayiv when you're mazik directly, you're certainly not going to be chayiv when you just to take it, and then you can always return it, right? V'yishlomar kiven di'i isa l'shtara v'ein chayiv l'achzir. So kadaitach the kishe hichzir machzir akefel imo, which I think is another way of saying the assumption of this question is that we view Gneva and Gzela through the lens of Mazik. That's not so obvious. If this is considered Gneva or Gzela, if it's something that you have to return, then it's something which is subject to Gneva. And if it's subject to Gneva, then you should pay Kefal too. Now it's challenging the very assumption that whatever only whatever is subject to Mazik is subject to Gneva and Gezel. And we have to ask this question in other things too. Gezel Akum is a good example. For example, Mazik Akum, Gezel Akum. Before we raise the question more conceptually, right? Maybe if it's a violation of rights, is this a Jewish thing? Is it a more universal thing? But now, in light of the question of how this stacks up to Mazik, we should ask about Shtaros, we should ask about why Karka ain't an Exalus. We know why we need Exalus of Kasuv, because Karka is Nitan Lehezek, but what about the conclusion that Karka ain't an Exalus, and yet Karka is subject to Nezek? Right? Same thing about Avadim. But what about Akum, and what about Hektesh? Right? What's the din of Gezel Akum vis-a-vis Mazik Akum? What's the din of Gezel Hektesh vis-a-vis Mazik Hektesh? So these are all legitimate issues to raise. We'll have to see how they all play out. I'm not sure if we'll pursue each one of them, but if you're talking about the relationship between the two, the relationship between the two is very complicated, as I say. Reb Chaim speaks about it in a number of places. One of the main sugyas, which we will be dealing with, not now, but some weeks down the road, when we get into the body of the Gemara, is the famous Gemara of Tavra Vishasya. The Gemara wants to know, what happens if you do a mazik in the context of Gneva and Gzela? You steal an object, are you supposed to give it back? Instead of giving it back, now you take your axe to it and you destroy it. Or you eat it. Tavra Vishasya. Is that like a second Gneva? Is it a mazik? Is there mazik within Gneva? That's an interesting question. Instead of just comparing and contrasting, you know, what is the rule in Mazik? What is the parallel situation in Gzela? Here we have a situation where we're essentially asking, is there Mazik, right, within the framework of Gezel? So we'll be discussing that as well. And these are all issues to discuss, as well as the ones that you raised, which is, let's say you can eliminate the Hefsid Mamon, right, completely. Like Abinasa Nekat, what I mentioned before. Or let's say Pachos Mishava Pruto. I mentioned Pachos Mishava Pruto by Ben Noach. Let's say Pachos Mishava Pruto by Yisrael. So maybe it isn't the full violation. Is it also in a Torah? What's also about it? The money isn't really significant enough. Would there be Mazik? Even Midrabanan and certainly also in a Torah, the Pachos Mishava Pruto? Probably not. If there is Gneva and Gzela, what does that tell us about the nature and comparison, the idea of the Maisa Gneva or the Maisa Gzela? Yeah.
But Modis also. If you Modis, you don't pay.
No, Moda Beknas is about the Kefa.
Right, so if I return it and I'm Moda, right. I don't pay Kefa at all. Is that right?
You don't pay Kefa, well, it depends on the time.
And I haven't caused any monetary damage to the Nixal, right? So right. I give back his object. So I'm free.
If you're Moda.
If I'm Moda.
Right. But that's only in the Kefal. Remember, there's also Karen.
But Karen, of course, I have to pay back. That's in Mazik. I have to pay the value of what I get.
And also remember, the Kefal is only limited to Gneva. So.
Right.
Now, the truth is that the questions that we're raising here about the, you know, how focused are we on the dollars and cents, on the Dinya Mamanis of Gneva and Gzela? And we're, you know, raising many, many questions. Akum and Noach, that's two in Akum, the act of a Ben Noach, all these other permutations, etc. We should also consider the possibility that in this itself there might be a difference between Gezela and Gneva, and we're going to pursue that as well. And part of the reason we should consider that, several things. Number one, this point about the Asaras HaDibros and the overlap with Dine Nefashos is much more true, obviously, for Geneva than it is for Gezeila. Moreover, the interesting thing is that, you know, the whole Kefel Dalet V'Hei, the fact that, you know, I can steal a $100 object and end up paying two, or in some cases $400 or $500, which doesn't make any sense from a Mazik point of view. That's the Knas. The fact that there is a Knas of Kefel Dalet V'Hei, they point to this, you know, more transcendent perspective, whereas Gzela, maybe, you know, there is a Maisa, but maybe it's really closer to routine Mazik. It's interesting down the list of Mazikin that we talked about before, Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, that Rav Chiya counted Gneva and Gzela. Again, he's diluting more anyway, so it's hard to know methodologically, as he gets more expansive, how significant is it that, you know, that this is listed and that is listed. He's anyways being more expansive. B'afal pichein, are Gneva and Gzela fundamentally different? Are there, in terms of some of the issues that we're raising, we're going to pursue it, Akum, Pachos Mishava Pruta, Almanas Lamekat, things of this sort, these are our avenues to explore as well. Namely, is there a difference between Gneva and Gzela? The Rav thought that Gneva is much more focused on the Maisa of Netila Sachefetz Mershus HaBailim, Hotzah Sachefetz Mershus HaBailim, and Gzela much more on Hefsin Mamon. A very interesting raya, but we'll be expanding on this more, but since I'm throwing it out, let me just mention one raya. And that is, if you look very carefully at the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Gzela, in the beginning of Hilchos Gneva, the Rambam tries to explain there's no Malkus for Gneva and Gzela. Why is there no Malkus for Gneva and Gzela? So the Rambam actually gives two different reasons in two different places. In Hilchos Gneva, he says, anybody know? I think he said what?
I said in Gzela, it's a lav anita klase.
Oh, so in Hilchos Gzela, he says, because it's a lav anita klase, because the Torah says veheshiv is like Gzela shagazal. In Hilchos Gneva, he says it's a lav shenitan l'tashlumin, because you can always pay back. In Hilchos Gzela, he says it's nita klase veheshiv is like Gzela, but then he adds, but if the object gets destroyed, let's say it gets burned down after you steal it, so you can't return it anymore, even then you won't get malchus because you can always pay for it. So the point is that the Rambam gives two reasons for Gzela and one reason for Gneva. Now, why is Gneva only because of Nitan Lishavon and Gzela is because of Nita Klase and Nitan Lishavon? Well, the technical answer is that the Pasuk only says Veheshev Esa Gzela Asher Gazal. It doesn't say Veheshev Esa Gneva Asher Gana. Okay, but then we can just push the question back, I think. I mean, why does the Pasuk only say, especially since it serves this important function of being Poter Malkus and Nita Klase, you know, why would that apply only to Gneva and not to Gzela? So I think the Rav's point was that Gneva is more about the act itself, being a Ganav, the act of Gneva, not much Enkein Gzela, which is predominantly about separating somebody from his money, causing Hefsin Mamon. So the point is that Hefsin Mamon is something that you can always reverse. You take from him, you can compensate. It's not just compensation, it's a reversal. That's what Nita Klase is basically. So the Rambam says it's Nita Klase. Of course, if the object gets destroyed in the interim, it's also Nita Lehishavo. Either way, you're not going to get Malkus. But when it comes to Gneva, there's no Nita Klase, because if the major Mechayev is not the Hefsin Mamon, but the Maisa, being a Ganav, the act of Gneva, etc., the victimization per se, you can't turn the clock back on that. You can compensate him monetarily and give him back the money, but if the maisa is important beyond the money, then surely you can say nitan l'tashlumin, but you can't say nitan klase. We'll follow through with that. Now the Gemara, of course, explains famous Gemara Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes, which we'll also discuss. The Gemara discusses, you know, ma ben gazal ben ganav gazal, and the Rambam repeats this in the beginning of Hilchos Gzela. The Gemara says the famous, Vayigzal Sachanis Miyada Mitzri, the case of Gzela is Befahesya, Bechozek Yad, right, you know, an armed robber. Gneva is stealth, you know, you steal into his house in the middle of the night and so on. The point of the Gemara is, which is worse? So anybody around the table, without prior knowledge, of course, the problem is that we all, or at least you all, know too much, but would have said Gzela is much worse than Gneva. But isn't it worse being mugged than being stolen from in the middle of the night? it's less traumatic in one sense. The Chazal say exactly the opposite. They say, you know, in one case here you're slapping, you know, both, you know, in one case you're showing respect for, you know, you're showing disrespect for both man and God. And in the other case here you're showing greater fear of man than you are of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he knows that you're stealing. And yet that doesn't seem to concern you. And apparently if your neighbor knew that you were stealing from him, you wouldn't do it. Right. So that's a very interesting idea. So for that reason, Gneva is given greater severity, is viewed as being more severe than Gzela. That's why Kefel and Dalet V'Hei and so on. I think one could argue that, in a sense, that makes it more of a Maisa Aveira. I think even psychologically, in a way, being robbed is more traumatic in one sense, and the sense of violation in one respect is greater when you're, you know, when people steal something from you and don't even know that it happened, and you have this sense of, you know, well, somebody could just, you know, there's no security. At least when I'm being robbed and I know it, it's one thing. So I think it's an interesting question, but the question that we're raising about how transcendent beyond dollars and cents is Gneva and Gzela, we should be open to the possibility that Gneva and Gzela are different. The fact that there is Knossos, again, the other way to say it is the Knossos are very specific. It's a Knoss for slapping the Ribbono Shel Olam in the face. But as for the Dinei Mamonos or basic Gneva and Gzela, they're the same. It's a separate Knoss. That's the other way to look at it. If you want to integrate the whole thing, it's one Gneva. It's a Gneva which is Mechayev Kefel V'Dalet V'Hei. So then we look at the whole Maisa differently, and even the dollars and cents are connected to this Maisa. So far we've begun by discussing in general terms whether or not Gneva and Gzeva in the culture of Halacha is about more than money. And again, the connection to Gneva's Nefesh is something which you want to pursue more fully. On one side, the link to Mazik, which itself is more than about dollars and cents, I agree, but at least it's predominantly about dollars and cents, is part of the other side. And these are some of the areas which we need to look at and to explore. Let me just say, I didn't get to today's topic, well, I guess we'll start with that next week, and that is, let me start by looking at something else. And that is there another source for Gneva or Gzela in the Aseres HaDibros, beyond Lo Signo, which is the obvious one, but turns out to be not so simple, because it's about kidnapping. Is there anything about actual theft of money in the Aseres HaDibros? Well, we all know the Aseres HaDibros. We either read about it, or we actually heard Cecil B. DeMille, and so on. So, well, what's he talking about? There is a candidate, and that, of course, is Lo Sachmo, the culmination of the Aseres HaDibros in Shemos, or together with Lo Sisava in Devarim, Lo Sachmo v'Lo Sisava. What exactly does that mean? So I'm just going to raise the question now, and then we'll pursue this next time. Again, if it refers to Gezel, then the fact that Gezel is in the Aseres HaDibros is surely very prominent. The fact that it's the last of the Aseres HaDibros, that it's formulated the way that it is, also may be significant. So the Torah tells us, if you look here, just the first three entries, and then we'll stop for today. Torah says in Shemos, Losachma beis reyacha, losachma neshes reyacha, avado, amaso, sharo, v'chamaro, v'chol, asher, l'reyacha. Hold on to these for next week. Then in Devarim, v'losachma neshes reyacha, it's interesting that the things are switched in order and also some of the emphasis. Here it starts with losachma neshes reyacha, losasaba beis reyacha, right, the order is switched and now it's connected to losasaba, sadeyu, avdo, amaso, sharo, v'chamaro, V'chol asher l'reyach. Okay. So if you look at the Ibn Ezra, he just highlights the problem. He didn't. The problem is based on the Gemara, but Ibn Ezra in Devarim says, "Milas chemed v'loshen hakodesh mispareshes l'shnei ta'amim." There are two ways to explain the word chimud in loshen hakodesh. Ha'echad gezel v'oshek v'kachas shalacherim v'chazko v'ones. Sometimes the word chemed in Tanakh means gezel. V'kach lo yachmod ishes artzacha kim en perusho kein hinei tia haaretz ra'a v'lo bo kosev ala shabeach v'tam ha'sheni lo shom taiva b'lev v'lo teitzel lefoa. The other is about machshava. V'hinei lo sachmod beis reyacha adibra ha'chi lo sachmod eishes reyacha adibra ha'asiri v'ya beis reyacha v'eishes reyacha nidbakim zeim zeo beis reyacha klal v'ha'eid shomer moshe v'sefer hazeh shabira satora tachas lo sachmod Amar lo sasabe, rabim amrim kein ha'avon b'makshevas b'leiv, ve'en aleim schar ba'onesh. Some people say there's no chait if something just remains a thought. Yesh rayos rabos l'hashav aleim b'lo arich. Ibn Ezra says it's wrong. It's not true. We do have averos and mitzvos that are simply belay. Rak erelem lev koresh machsheves oven. Dhativosa kihaya kehaye rather im levavcha. By sharim belibosam psukim that clearly indicate that what a person feels and thinks are also part of the Torah's scope. Mosh shamar b'sof b'ficha u'b'levavcha. Getting to that. The psukim there, parsha shavua, the ficha ubavavcha in a couple of weeks, la soso, the ikar kol hamitzvos liyasher b'lei. So basically, the Ibn Ezra is wondering whether or not chimud lo sachmud is that b'leiv or is that gezel. Similarly, the famous chazal. With this we conclude. The chazal say that parshas kedoshim is nemar b'hakel, that we know. Klal Yisrael was addressed in parshas kedoshim. Question is why? So the Chazal say because gufei mitzvos namrubo, because major pillars of the faith are spoken about in Parshas Kedoshim. So the some of the Mepharshim explain, according to the Ramban, that there's a parallel between Kedoshim and the Aseres HaDibros. Then they go ahead to challenge us to figure out all the correspondence. What?
Except the distant differences you have to grow up.
Yeah. So the question is, okay, good. So what is the correspondence? So some people say the losach mode corresponds to v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which makes a lot of sense. Others, different days in the Ramban or Ben Abachai, say losach mode corresponds to losigzal or losignovu, which are in Parshas Kedoshim. So again, this is the question. If chimud means gezel v'oshek, and it's in the Aseres HaDibros, surely this gives very great stature to not only say in, but the culmination of the Aseres HaDibros. It's not just about dollars and cents. It's not just pragmatically that you have a society. You have to know what to do with somebody who undermines the financial well-being of his neighbor. And it's more than that, obviously. These are about transcendent values, issues that go to the very heart of what it means to live a life of Kedusha. Okay, so we'll continue with the Losach mode question next week and hold on to these Marmakalkas. And then, you know, a few more points and then we'll get into the next.
Why didn't you bring a ride from Noah? Hamas. Right, that the eight of them.
Absolutely. Destroy the world.
Right.
Gezel.
Very
good. Not a small matter.
A little matter of destruction.